Good morning. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I do thank you all for coming out this morning. Today we're going to go for a walk. Okay? It's a long walk. I hope you're prepared. Carrie, you ready? We'll find out. Okay, everybody, I kind of sprung this on you, so you're probably not ready for a walk, are you? Martha says no. If I'd have let you know in advance, would you prepare? Okay. Turn to Isaiah. The 40th chapter of Isaiah, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So Martha, now are you ready to go on that walk? Yes. Okay. So we're all prepared? We're ready to go on that walk with Jesus. Right? Are we going to make it? Have you got all the stuff that you need with you right now to make it on that walk? It's going to be several days. There's going to be trials and tribulations. There will be venomous snakes, mind-numbing fog, fiery arrows being shot at us, a dragon that wants to devour us, and darkness at times. There will be no food available along the way, nor water to drink available along the way. So are you prepared? It's been told to us several times in the scriptures that we need to be ready to go on that walk. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. So are we prepared? Turn a couple of pages to Matthew, the third chapter, verse 3. I find it amazing. It's always verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And it's talking about John. So if you're prepared to go on this path, who do you want to go with you on the path? Who are you going to take along? And how are you going to get them to the end of the path? Are you going to take your spouse? Are you going to take your children? You're going to take your relatives, your friends, your neighbors? Who is it that you want to go on this path? And are they ready? Rogan has, he's saying yes. Yeah, he wants to take God with him on the path. Right, Rogan? Yes, he's shaking his head, yes. Yeah, that's your number one person that should be with you on the path. But I want to take my family with me, and I want to take my friends with me. But am I prepared to help them get down that path? Do I have everything with me that I need to help them get down that path? You know, in all of these places where they use the word prepare, excuse me, I gotta fix these wires. The word prepare, and when you look it up, means to turn, to face, to behold, to appear, to equip, to look inward. Okay? That's in the Hebrew and in the Greek. To face, to turn, to look inward. Not just to prepare physically, but to prepare spiritually and mentally to make it down this path. How do we do that? And when you take those words, they also led to another interpretation of the word. And that was, it's a Greek word, but it means the example that it gave for to prepare is as a wife, as contributing to the usefulness of the husband. And I saw that, and I'm like, how does that fit? To prepare? How does a wife prepare her husband? Well, she helps him get ready for work, I suppose. She helps him, she makes his lunch, she gets his work clothes, she cleans his clothes, she encourages him. She makes sure that his desires and needs are fulfilled. So the wife and the husband. And then I thought, the bride and the groom. Or the church and Jesus. The church is supposed to fulfill the desires and wants and needs of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are the wife of Christ. So yes, and the word is implementation, or to put into action his effectiveness. The effectiveness of Jesus Christ, his salvation. We are supposed to put that into action. We're supposed to implement that in our lives on this path as the bride. Turn to 2 Chronicles. The 30th chapter. Went too far. This is the story about Hezekiah. They've come back to Jerusalem, they've fixed the city, they've fixed the walls, they've done all these things, and Hezekiah and the leaders of the city and of the church have decided they want to have Passover. Okay? They've done all of these things, all of these physical things, and now they want to have Passover. But it's too late for Passover. The time has gone by, but they're like, we don't care. We want to have it anyway. We know that we're late, but we still want to do it. And so they told everybody. They told the people in all the tribes that were still there, you know, scattered round about. And they invited all of the neighbors to come and partake of Passover. And everybody said, you can't do that. There's no way you can get this done. And it's way past time anyway, and you're just not ready. I said, we don't care. We want to do it anyway. We want everybody to come and partake. And so they sent out the invitation. They made a proclamation throughout all of Israel. And so everybody shows up, and the priests weren't ready. So the Levites had to step in, and everybody had to pitch in and help the priests because they weren't ready. The people were not ready. The people had not sanctified themselves to partake of the Passover. They had not prepared. And Hezekiah realized this. And he realized that even he, in all the preparations that they had made, you know, fixing the city and doing all these things, he had failed in his preparations. Even though he wanted everybody to experience the joy of serving God, he had failed in preparing them. He had failed in preparing himself. And so, verse 18, this is 2 Chronicles 30th chapter, verse 18. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet they did eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. They were not doing it properly. They had not prepared. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. God, please forgive us all of us sinners, forgive us and allow us to partake of your goodness. Allow us to partake of your salvation. Allow us to walk on your path in the ways of righteousness. Forgive all of us sinners. Hezekiah himself was included in that prayer. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And they all partook. And they all experienced the joy of it. So, do you have people in your family who are not members of this church? I do. Do you have neighbors who are not members of this church? I do. Do you consider them to be sinners? Some of them are. Do you consider them to be better or worse than you? Are you better than they because you're here today? Well, you're trying to be better. But does that make us better than them? Or does that just make us more informed than them? I think it makes us more informed. We're not perfect. We're just working at it. We're trying to be good. There's days when we do a really good job, And there's days where we don't do such a good job. But we keep trying. Now, those people out there, they might not know what you know. They might not know what I know. I haven't talked to my neighbors much about this at all. I haven't talked to everybody in my family about this. I have talked to them, some of them, who are not members of this church, about going on a walk with me and asking them to bring their wives and their children with them. And I asked them, well, we're going to go on this walk. We're going to go on a hike. Are you prepared? Well, yeah. I've got some hiking boots and a backpack. How long are we going to be gone? Several days. Man, I don't know. I don't know if I can get my wife and kids to do that. I said, well, you're the leader of the family. What do you think? Well, I'll talk to him about it. Okay, well, we're going to be leaving in a couple of days. I hope you're ready. Well, what are we going to need, Sean? I said, well, like I said, it's going to be a long walk. You said you've got hiking boots. You've got a backpack. He said, am I going to need food and water? Yep, you're going to need food and water. Am I going to need like a sleeping bag or a tent or something? I said, yeah, probably, shelter. Is it a rough hike? Well, at times it can be, there can be danger. Because so I need protective clothing? Yep, protective clothing would be handy. He said, what about the danger part? I said, well, there'll be animals that want to kill you. He's like, animals? I said, yeah. What kind? I said, poisonous snakes. I hate snakes, Sean. I said, yeah, well, there's going to be snakes, venomous ones. Might be a couple of mountain lions. Oh, man, I'm afraid of mountain lions. He said, I'm more afraid of mountain lions than I am of poisonous snakes. They're sneaky and quiet, and they just want to eat you. I said, yeah, so? He goes, so I need to bring a weapon? I said, it's advisable. He said, are we going to be walking at night? I said, we're going to be walking the whole time. There'll be light, there'll be darkness. There's going to be some fog. He goes, so I need to bring a light? Yep. Okay, he goes, so shoes, backpack, protective clothing, a weapon, tent, food, water, a light. What else do I need? I said, well, do you know where we're going? He goes, no, do you? I said, well, not quite sure. He goes, I know where the end is, but I don't know how to get there all the way. He goes, so you want a map? I said, map would be handy. He goes, guidebook? Yeah. Compass? Yeah, bring a compass if you got it. Okay. I said, what else do you take with you on a hike? And he thought, and he thought, and he thought, and he said, a walking stick. I said, yeah, bring a staff. That'll be good. So he said, okay. So here we go. I told him I'd meet him in a couple of days to let his wife and kids know that we're going on this walk. And he shook my hand, and he said, okay. He said, you be in front, and I'll follow you. I'll have your back. I said, you got a deal. And stuck out my hand. He stuck out his hand, and I shook his hand. I said, all right, we're going to do this. He said, yes, we're going to do this. He doesn't know yet that I'm going to be talking to him about this walk. But that's where we're going. You know, John the Baptist, he was a special guy. He was special from birth. But what he wanted was his mom and his dad, He wanted his cousin Jesus. He wanted all of his relatives to go down that path. And so he did the very best that he could to encourage them and show them the path. He was preparing the way for them. Turn to the book of Luke, the first chapter. We're going to start at verse 57. Now, this is about John's mom and dad, Elizabeth and Zechariah, and John. In verse 57, it says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son." Excuse me. I came prepared. "And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, 'Not so, but he shall be called John.' And they said unto her, 'There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father how he would have him called, because Zacharias had been struck mute. He was not allowed to speak until John was born, and he named the boy John instead of Zacharias." And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John," and they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea." And so Zacharias spoke. He hadn't spoken for 9 months. And God loosed his tongue, and he was able to speak, and he said, "His name shall be called John, and this is what he is going to do. And this is what's happening, people. It started. Are you ready?" "And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea." And so everybody was talking about Zacharias and John, and it was amazing. And this kid, you know, what is he going to do? This is a prophecy. What is this kid going to do? "And all they that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, 'What manner of child shall this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." You've been hearing what's happening in the world, in the news, to people who have been worshiping. And it doesn't matter what religion they've been worshiping in. Seems like everybody's being killed that's been worshiping, that's been practicing their faith. Even those who are worshiping the wrong way and practicing and worshiping the wrong God, they're being killed because of it. But it says that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. every day, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night, but every day. And this is what type of person John was going to be. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's the kind of child that John was going to be. What kind of child do you want your children to be? Do you want them to be like that? I see smiles. Yeah. Do you want to be like that? I do. I want to be like that kid. I want to guide people. I want to guide my friends and my family and my neighbors, my loved ones, my wife, my children and grandchildren. I want to guide them down that same path. I want them to experience that joy that you get by serving God, by serving others, by helping them down that path. I want them to be able to experience that. So how do I prepare myself to prepare them? What do I need to do in me to make sure they make it? Not just me. You know, if you're going to be a child of Christ, if you're going to be a preparer of the way, you're not just doing this for yourself. You're doing that for everyone. You're serving them. You're preparing the way. You're making the path straight. You're showing them where the pitfalls are. You're showing them where the danger lies. You're shining the light in all that you do. Are you that child? Are you that child of Christ? Are you doing those things all the days of your life? Am I? Those are the things that we have to look inside ourselves and see and question. Am I doing what is necessary to light the way of the path of salvation for everyone else? So you need food. Turn to Revelation, the very last page of the Bible, chapter 22. You know, we said we need food, we need water, we need light, a map, compass, guidebook. We need protective clothing. We need hiking boots. We need weapons. We need a staff, a bulldozer to get rid of the rocks, the big rocks, the bulldozers, you know, the boulders. Maybe a couple of mountains might be in the way because we want it to be as smooth as possible for our loved ones, right? You want them to have the easiest walk down that path. You don't want them to stumble or fall off the path or get lost. You want it nice and easy for them. And a first aid kit would also come in handy just in case there's little accidents. Someone might trip and fall and skin their knees. You want to pick them back up, stand them back up on the path, and fix their boo-boos, right? These are your kids. So a first aid kit would come in handy. Chapter 22 of Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So we have water. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. So we got something to eat. OK? Okay? 12 different tribes is going to yield their fruit every month. You're going to have 12 different kinds of things to eat every month. Each one of these is a different tribe. They stayed together, they lived together, they had their little communities together, they each had their own part in Israel. Okay? They were all part of the same family, but they each had their own spot, and they grew up in that family. Now, if you grew up in the Denim family, you're different than anyone outside of the Denim family, because life was different as a Denim, and you think differently as a Denim, and there's things that you say as a Denim that people outside of the Denim family just don't get, you know? And it's part of being a Denim. But there's things that happen in the Denim family that we get to share with the people outside of the Denim family that feeds them. Okay? It feeds them. The testimonies that the Denim family has, we share with people outside of the family, and we feed them about the goodness of God. We give them nourishment through our testimonies. And that's what every single family does. They have their own ways of thinking, their own ways of saying stuff, their own ways of doing things, but they all have testimonies about what God has done for them. Everybody in this church. Okay? We're all part of the same tribe, House of Israel, but we're all a little bit different in our, what do they call it, idiosyncrasies or something like that. I'm not sure if that's the correct word, but we all have our different little quirks. Not all of you want to be a Denim, and I don't blame you. It's not an easy job, but it is interesting. And let me tell you, life is not boring as a Denim. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So, there's 12 manners of fruit to eat. But you don't want to just eat Denim food all your life. I want to partake of all of your stuff. I want to hear your testimonies. I want to know what God has done for you in your life. So I want to eat some of your fruit. And it's not just the words that you say that I'm eating or partaking of. It's how you act around me. It's how you treat me. It's how you treat your spouses and your children. I eat or feast upon those things, your actions, your thoughts, and your words, your deeds. I partake of it. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. First aid kit. The tree of life is going to give you food. It's going to give you a first aid kit. There's water flowing out from around it. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Turn to John, first chapter of John. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's the light. Jesus Christ. When you're on this path and you come into the fog or you come into the darkness and your kids and your wife are behind you and your friends and stuff, where do you shine the light? Out in front of you so you can see where you're going? Maybe just have the light, the circle of the light start at your feet and go in front so you know exactly where you're going and you're not going to stumble over anything? No, you're not selfish. You shine the light around you. You've got the light, you're holding it out here, that flashlight, you're holding it out here to the side, and you're lighting your feet right directly in front of you, but you're also shining it behind you so that your wife and your kids and your relatives and your neighbors and friends can see this is the path. Okay, so that's what you need to do with the light of Jesus Christ. Don't be selfish with it. Don't just keep it to you, but share it with everyone so that they can see where to go. So that they can see there's poison ivy right there. Don't step in that. Go around that. There's a snake. Kill it. There's a dragon. Well, how are you going to kill the dragon? Well, you got to have a weapon. We're going to keep reading here because I want to get down to the bottom of this, all the way down to the word. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All men through you might believe in the light. He was not that light. You're not the light, but you have the light. But was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It's talking about God, Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. A child of Christ. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, because we obeyed his will. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word. This is the word. It's written down in these books, but it's the word. It's the things that Jesus did, the things that he said, even his thoughts, his actions, his deeds, the things that he desired for us. It's all in here. And it's food, it's light, it's a first aid kit. These are the leaves of the tree for your healing as you're on the path. To make you feel better and fix you up again and keep you going down that path. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Protective clothing. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Don't lie to your kids, or your wife, or your family, or your neighbors. Tell them the truth about this. And if they say, well, I saw you doing this, don't lie to them about it. Say, yes, I did that, and it was wrong. And I shouldn't have. And I don't want to anymore. And I've asked for forgiveness. And I ask that you forgive me for setting a bad example for you. Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Be right inside. in your heart. Not just having the suit of armor on for show, but actually be right in your heart. And your feet, hiking boots, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There we are preparing again. Preparation of the gospel of peace. When you're preparing them, do you go out to them and you say, look, I need to talk to you because, well, you're all sinners and you need to know this. Is that going to bring them peace? Or is that going to make them not like you and not want to listen to you? I mean, I don't want anybody to come up to me and say, Sean, I need to talk to you because you're a filthy sinner and I'm righteous and you're not, Sean. That is not going to make me want to listen to you. Do it peacefully. You got to do it truthfully, but you got to do it peacefully. And you got to tell them, look, I know something that I think might help you. And I want you to understand, I'm no better than you, but I have studied this and I'm working on this. And I think you might enjoy this, actually. Want to go on a walk with me? And then lead them down the path in peace. Get them to want to come with you. It's going to be a great adventure. We're going to see some of the coolest things you've ever seen in your life. We're going to eat some of the best food, drink the clearest water. We're going to have armor. We're going to have weapons. We're going to have all of this stuff. It's going to be a grand adventure. It's life. And you can walk down this path with me. And at the end, we will receive our reward. And it's going to be more joy than you can imagine. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray in faith, and pray, and pray, and pray. Keep the word with you. Eat the word. Consume the word. Heal yourself with the word. Drink the word. Consume it and make it become part of you. And you'll have everything that you need to make it down that path. Turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Too far. Verse 15. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. The word. Okay? The walking stick that my friend said he needs to bring with him are these two sticks right here that have been combined into one. It's also the word. It will help you make that journey, make that walk more bearable. It will give you strength. It will give you support. It's an amazing staff. So we've gotten everything that we need to make it down that path, but we forgot one thing. We mentioned a bulldozer. Trevor, you got your bulldozer?
Working on it.
Okay, get it running, because we're going to need it. Turn to the fourth chapter of the Book of Mormon, verse 27. You'll find it on page 707 in the Book of Mormon. Search the prophecies of Isaiah. Imagine that. Behold, I cannot write them. Yea, behold, I say unto you that those saints which have gone before me down that path, which have possessed this land, shall cry. Yea, even from the dust will they cry unto the Lord, and as the Lord liveth, he will remember the covenant which he hath made with them, and he knoweth their prayers, that they were in behalf of their brethren. They prayed for us. Yeah. Those who came to possess this land, they prayed for us. And he knoweth their faith, for in his name could they remove mountains. What's it say on your bulldozer?
Faith.
It doesn't say John Deere or any of the others. It says faith, doesn't it? That's the bulldozer you want. You can remove mountains with that thing. You can make the smoothest path imaginable with your faith. And it's for your family. Your faith is going to help your family have a nice, smooth walk. Your prayers, because of your faith, is going to help your family have a nice, smooth walk. Your testimonies to your family, because of your faith, is going to feed your family. It's going to give them things to drink. It's going to give them things that will heal them. Your faith in the Word, your willingness to obey because of your faith, is going to help them get to the end of the path. And in his name could they cause the earth to shake, and by the power of his word did they cause prisons to tumble to the earth. Yea, even the fiery furnace could not harm them, neither wild beasts nor poisonous serpents, because of the power of his word. And behold, their prayers were also in behalf of him that the Lord should suffer to bring these things forth. And no one need say, they shall not come, for they surely shall. For the Lord hath spoken it, for out of the earth shall they come by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away, and it shall come even as if one should speak from the dead. The faith of the servants of Jesus Christ, it's all in here. It's your staff, it's your food, it's your water, it's your light, it's your armor, it's your weapon, it's your shelter, and it's your reward. Thank you.